We are going to be starting in Genesis 39 today as we continue our study in Christ in the Old Testament, Luke 24, 27, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets he expounded unto them in all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. Of course, all the scriptures was just the Old Testament that they had. I think there's still chicken left over in there. Man. You guys should have been a part of the pickup and delivery team Bob and I was on. We had a blast. We did a bunch of stuff while we were out. They said they won't even notice we're gone. And we had a good time. Y'all doing all right today? It's going to be hard for me to compete against bellies filled with chicken and watermelon and all those things, huh? I'm glad I'm not going to hell, amen?
Amen.
You know what one of the reasons why? It's just too hot there. Amen?
That's right.
Yeah. I'm just picking on people. Because it feels comfortable in here, amen? By the way, you guys, on that last birthday song we sang today, you guys nailed it. It was really good.
It was good.
I know. We probably should redo yours.
Okay. We don't want to repeat that ever.
Let me share here. There are, going through this study on Christ in the Old Testament, we just are in the book of Genesis right now. And this will actually, we've looked at 33 passages of Scripture. I don't want to say 33 verses because some of them are several verses. So 33 passages already. And I think there's 47 we'll be looking at total, just in Genesis. So you can see that there's a lot in the Old Testament, just in the book of Genesis so far, of Christ. Some of them are very, very clear. Some of them are, well, kind of, we can see some similarities there, but some are really, really crisp and clear. We're going to look at five more passages today. The next Sunday when we get, the Sunday when we're back, we'll take a break from it. We'll do the Lord's Supper, and then we'll come back and finish up the book of Genesis. And then I might even start a different study for a while to give you a break from this, because I think you guys are bored from this, aren't you?
No.
So, okay, well, maybe I won't then. I don't know. I'm just checking. Sometimes you guys sing good, sometimes you don't. So I'm just saying, it could go either way with the messages, too. Sometimes I preach okay, sometimes I don't. So, amen. I heard that.
I disagree.
I've got to ride with my wife all the way to Ohio after she amened that statement. We are studying right now, currently, Joseph here. And I want you to look at Joseph. There is a handout back there if you didn't get one. We're on lesson 8, so you should all have them from carryover from last week. Mm-hmm. Genesis 39, verse 17. And she spake unto him according to these words, saying, the Hebrew servant, this is Potiphar's wife, the Hebrew servant which thou hast brought unto us came in unto me to mock me. And it came to pass, as I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled out. And it came to pass, when his master heard the words of his wife, which she spake unto him, saying, after this manner did thy servant to me, that his wrath was kindled. And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound. And he was there in the prison. Now, I'm not going to read verse 21, but I want you to look at the very first few verses, words of it. But the Lord was with Joseph. Amen? Sometimes we get ourselves in our own predicaments, correct?
Yes.
That puts us into bondage. Yes. Sometimes we do the right things and we get into a prison situation still. But it's in those times that God will be with us because he has a purpose and a plan of what he's about ready to use. In this setting here of Genesis 39, like Christ here, as we look back to Christ in the Old Testament, like Christ, Joseph was falsely accused and also imprisoned. He went on and was arrested. So Joseph is a beautiful picture, and probably, as we made mentioned earlier, there is more pictures of Christ in the life of Joseph than any other place, maybe in all the scriptures of the Old Testament. So here's another one of those pictures or types. And by the way, this is not a part of the lesson, but Mrs. Potiphar is a liar. Can we all agree to that?
Yeah.
Potiphar should have taken a minute and, knowing Joseph's character, he already saw God's hand was upon him and was blessing him because of Joseph, should have done a little bit of research, which I'm sure it came out later. But it's interesting that the people who will accuse you, let me say this, take this back, the people who will falsely accuse you, whatever they are falsely accusing you for is what they are guilty of. Always let that sink in. If somebody is bringing false accusations against you, as they are bringing them, it's because they are guilty of the things they're condemning you for. She said that he is trying to mock me. He's trying to come on me so that he can lay with me, is what she's getting at. And yet we see clearly that God saw everything and recorded it day after day after day after day. She just would not let up and leave him alone. And he stood true. He honored God, and he honored Potiphar. And yet Potiphar dishonored him. But it's according to God's purpose. So here, Joseph is lied about, he's falsely accused, and then he's arrested. And like Christ, Joseph has the same thing, where Christ was falsely accused as well as arrested. Also like Christ, it's interesting, in Isaiah chapter 53 in verse 12, part of that verse says that talking about, it's, Isaiah 53 is referring to Christ at the cross. So it's a prophetic one that we'll be looking at later, but we'll look at it now as he says in verse 12 that he was numbered with the transgressors. So you had two thieves on each side. So here we see that it's prophesied that Christ would be numbered with two transgressors. Well, Joseph is also numbered with two transgressors, because when he's lied about and then he's cast into prison, he's there with two transgressors against Pharaoh himself, the baker and the butler. So he also is a small typology there in that area, that he was numbered with the transgressors as well. Now, we're going to go to chapter 41. Between chapter 41 and chapter 39, two full years take place. So we're stepping from, if this is 39 and there's 41, I'm 40, there's 1 year, 41, 2 years has gone by. 2 years can be, 2 years can go by quite quickly when things are going good, amen? 2 years can go by quite slowly when they're not going too good, all right? So 2 years has passed. We see that clearly in chapter 41, the very first verse, and it came to pass at the end of two full years that Pharaoh had this dream, okay? Now, excuse me. We're jumping to dream, going to verse number 40, and notice what it says here in verse number 40. And thou shalt be over my house, and according to unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. This is Pharaoh speaking to Joseph after Joseph interprets the dream. Christ, I want you to understand, is the King of Kings. Amen? Amen. And it is here that he is pictured over his father's house. Joseph rises up and he becomes the second in all the land. Here's a beautiful picture, if you would, of a reminder that he is also number two as the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So here's a good picture, a reminder of the Trinity. In Revelation chapter 3, we read where John wrote in verse 21, to him that overcometh, he's writing to us now, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my Father's, in my throne. Wow. Think about that, folks. Pharaoh granted Joseph to sit in his throne, second only unto him. He has complete rule. Matter of fact, the whole country, the whole land of Egypt is ruled by the authority of not what Pharaoh says, but by what Joseph says. His word will rule the land. He's second in command. And now Jesus tells us in John 3:21, to him that overcometh, he's writing to the church, I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. So you and I have great opportunity as overcomers, not giving in to sin, not giving in to self, not giving in to all these things that the flesh desires, by overcoming, by allowing the Spirit to control us, to be filled with the Spirit, to walk in the Spirit so that we don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. If you will overcome and yield and work at it, and it is work, by the way,
yeah.
And yielding to, and there's that resistance between the flesh and the Spirit. If you'll let the Spirit grow stronger and stronger, and that you'll become an overcomer, loving not the things of this world, the world or the things of this world, he says, then I will grant you to sit with me. He didn't say, I'm going to grant you to sit in my throne. I'm going to grant you to sit with me in my throne, even as I overcame. He overcame every temptation and trial. And I am now sat down with my Father in his throne. What? We're just scroungy sinners.
Yeah, that's right.
We have taken and used his name as a four-letter cuss word before, have we not?
Yeah.
Brought it down to that level. We have done things that have gone completely against his word. We have blasphemed. We can go on with a list of all the sins. And yet he goes, if you will overcome, now that you are in Christ, if you'll become an overcomer, you can sit with me in my throne with me.
Yeah.
Wow.
Wow.
By the way, can I just say this? This is just 2 years after. So a lot can happen in 2 years, amen? A lot can happen, listen, a lot can happen in 3 days, right? From the cross to the resurrection. That's why they say that you should always, when you have something that big, that major you have to pray about, you should spend at least 3 days in prayer, because things can change in 3 days. So here we have 2 years have passed. He's come up. He's there. He's now raised from the prison to second in command. Chapter 41 continues. Verse 40 we read. Let's go on and read down a little bit. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, verse 41, see, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and put it upon Joseph's hand and arrayed him in vestures of fine linen and put a gold chain about his neck. And he made him to ride in the second chariot, which he had. And they cried before him, bow the knee. And he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. Now, you got to remember, when Joseph gets this news, you have a visitor. I mean, guys that are in prison like get visits, right? He has a visitor, and this visitor comes down, and he's, hey, Joseph, come here. You got to get cleaned up. You got to shave. You got to get yourself cleaned up. What's going on? And he gets him all cleaned up. You're standing before Pharaoh. And man, he comes in, and even if he's cleaned up and washed, he's probably in just some linen stuff. And he's giving him, he's going like this. Pharaoh's going like this in front of everybody. Sorry. I can't wear my wedding band because I couldn't get it off the other day, so I had to keep it off, or else I'd have to cut it off. No, I like mine better.
Okay.
Well, yeah, do that. He gave me, Pharaoh gave Joseph the ring. Did y'all see that? You see that he gave me this ring?
And don't get too smart about this.
Joseph puts it on his hand because that has complete authority, because anything that's decreed must have the seal stamped in it. They even stamped and sealed the tomb. You remember that? The power of the seal. You and I have been sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Amen?
Amen.
And so here is that great picture of that area. I'm going to do something here. Watch. My little ring here. Don's big ring here, all right?
Fat fingers.
Now watch. I want everybody to listen carefully. Brother Don, your ring and mine, correct? Which one of these did you just now give me? Wait, let me mix them up first. All right, there. Which one of these did you just give me? Just point to it. Now, this one here?
Yeah.
Did you guys hear what he just did? I said, which one of these did you just give me? You said this one, so thank you.
Yeah.
And
hey, ring stays here.
Wait a minute, your word. Guys, that is a way you can make money on things, all right? I got to tell you, this is so funny. I probably shouldn't take time, but I'm going to take time anyway. I worked at this chemical factory, and there was this guy named Bill Burkhart. Bill Burkhart was tall. He was probably 6'5", 6'6". Looked like a straw, skinny as a rail, but very arrogant. All right? If you told a story, he had a better one. I mean, he was just one of those guys. So I came walking into work one day. We were early. I was going to go get a cup of coffee. And I just wore a work T-shirt, and it had a pool table on it, and it had a shark, a real shark, standing up behind the pool table with a cue in his hand, getting ready to shoot the pool ball, you know? And it said on the thing, it says pool shark. Y'all know what a pool shark is, right?
Yeah.
Guys that are just really good, all right? So I come walking in, minding my own beeswax, going to go have a cup of coffee, and he's sitting with all this table of these guys, these five guys, and he goes, I can't use the word that he used, but he says, that's baloney.
Yeah.
So what are you talking about? On your shirt, you are no pool shark. I thought, this is too early in the morning for this to happen. So I thought, I'm going to have to dish it back on him, you know, which I like doing, all right? And by the way, you guys did great singing birthday today, all right? So I walked over to the table where he is at, and I said, you talking about this pool shark? He goes, yeah, you're no pool shark. I said, I sure am. No, you're not. I said, I could take you to the pool hall. You can rack them. And 8 out of 10, just on the breaks, 8 out of 10, that 8 ball that's in the center, I can drop in the pocket on just on the break.
Oh.
8 out of 10 times.
Minnesota fat,
so. No! I mean, he exploded. And all of his buddies are laughing and stuff. You can't do that. And I said, well, all right, I can prove it to you. And we don't even have to go to the pool hall. He goes, what's that? I said, do you have 2 quarters on you? What's that have to do with anything? I said, do you have 2 quarters? You're the one that started this thing. So he reaches in his pocket, pulls out 2 quarters. I said, let me see them. I flipped them over face up, and I said, the date here is 1973, 1976. And I went around the whole table. I said, is that correct, the right dates? And everybody was verifying. Yep, 73, 76. I said, watch what I'm going to do here. I just started rubbing them like I was doing something. I'm rubbing them. Haven't had my coffee yet. So I said, all right. What were they? 1973? Yep. And 1976? Yep. I said, walked up to him. I said, look at those dates. What are they? He goes, 73, 76. I said, are these the quarters you gave me? He goes, yeah. I said, thank you. Put them in my pocket. Went and got my cup of coffee. He started demanding his money back. I said, no. I just want to show you that I don't have to work here to make a living. I can find guys like you and make 50 cents like that every single time. I said, now, you want your quarters back? He goes, yeah. I said, they're mine. They're not yours. I can't give them back to you. I said, but if you want to earn 2 quarters, do it on somebody like these guys here. And then I went on. So they ragged on him the rest of the day. They were all asking him if he had a couple quarters. Anyway, I like that story. That's a fun one, because especially when it's true, you know. And I could have a ring right now. How many of y'all know I could have that ring right now, right? Christians tell the truth. They No, yeah, truly.
There would be a slight problem. You have to deal with me.
Well, no.
I bought it.
You did buy it?
I bought it.
It can be sold again. All right.
Back for a dollar. Or 2 quarters.
So, yeah, 2 quarters. I wasn't born yesterday, all right? Let's get back here. So I'm just saying, things can change very quickly, amen, for our good. So here we are, and now we have this situation here in verse 43. It says, and Pharaoh made Joseph to ride in the second chariot which he had. So the chariots are coming out. Pharaoh's in the first run, being, you know, the king, you know. And here comes the second chariot. Right behind it is Joseph, who just came out of prison.
Yes, right. Yeah.
You need to remember that got gold chain around his neck, got the Pharaoh's ring on it. That's what started it, the Pharaoh's ring there.
Bald head.
Yep, he's got all of that going for him. And they cried before him. So there's people that are jogging before him. And as they're coming and the people are standing there, they're going, bow the knee. Yep. Joseph's riding along, a prisoner, just within the day. Mm-hmm. And people are now, when the chariot of Joseph comes by, they're going,
Yeah. No,
and they're probably not even allowed to look up. I hope that some of them people had pulpits to pull themselves back up on it. So they said, bow the knee, and he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. Here we have Joseph riding in the second chariot. Reminds us that, again, here we have the picture of the Jesus is the second in the Trinity, all right? But also, Philippians 2:10 tells us that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. Folks, that day is closer than what we think. The Bible says no man knows the day nor the hour. Not even Jesus. He has limited himself. Only the Father knows that time. And as this is the throne of the Father, Jesus is at the right hand of the Father, and he's waiting for that Father. I don't know if the Father is going to say something or if the Father is going to simply touch him, but he's going to say, it's time. I don't know where. Matter of fact, when I went to bed last night, I was thinking about this. And I laid down my head and I said, Lord, I just pray you'd watch over us while we sleep. Keep us safe, whether you put a hedge around us while we're sleeping or whether you call us out of here. And then all of a sudden, God brought that verse to me that, you know what, Kevin, you may be sleeping when I come. Because the Bible says some people will be working, some people will be sleeping. Now, I don't mind if he comes while I'm sleeping, amen? Because I like to sleep. Anybody here like sleeping? Amen. I like a good night's sleep. But there's coming a day when everybody, even those that are defiant against him, their knees are going to buckle and they'll drop. And they will. And I don't think that they're going to be forced to say it. I think they're going to see he is who he says he is. Let's go on a little bit farther down here. Verse 44, and Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I am Pharaoh, and without thee shall no man lift up his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. Nobody can move unless you say they can move. And Pharaoh called Joseph's name Zaphnath-Paneah. How'd you like that one, huh? And he gave him to wife Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, the priest of On. And Joseph went out over all the land of Egypt. There's a politician getting involved with the people. And Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went out through all the land. Here's your next one here in verse 46. The fact that Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh and began to serve reminds us that Jesus Christ began his public ministry at about the age of 30. The Bible says in Luke chapter 3, verse 23, and Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age. So here's another beautiful little picture that Jesus on the road to Emmaus is teaching just about Joseph. Quickly here, chapter 42. In chapter 42, we read in verse 1, now when Jacob saw that there was corn in Egypt, you remember this great famine, global famine's taking place. And when Jacob saw that there was corn in Egypt, Jacob said unto his sons, Why do you look one upon another? And he said, behold, I have heard that there is corn in Egypt. Get you down thither and buy for us from thence that we may live and not die. In this text here, these two verses, is a reminder that as Jacob heard there was corn in Egypt, I have heard that there is corn in Egypt. So the sinner must hear the gospel. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Just as the sinner today has to hear the gospel of Christ, Romans 10:17 is where that's found. Jacob heard that there was corn in Egypt. But let me say something here very important in these two verses. Just hearing there was corn in Egypt did not meet their need.
That's right. Yeah.
It did not save them, just hearing about it. They had to go do something. Hearing wasn't enough. It would be necessary for them to, it says, go down to Egypt and get the corn. Notice what it says here. In verse number 2, he says, I have heard that there is corn. Then he tells his sons, get you down thither. Are you with me? Jacob heard there's corn in Egypt, not enough. So he tells his son that it's necessary to go down to Egypt to get the corn. This speaks again, as a sinner must hear the gospel, faith comes by hearing, he must not just hear it, but he must also go and receive it himself. He must be a partaker, which is picturing humility. You must go down to Egypt. The going down is a picture of humility. It's a picture of a broken spirit, the Bible talks about, that the sinner must experience in order to receive, listen, the corn of life. Now, why did I call it the corn of life?
Bread of life.
Flip over to John chapter 12. John chapter 12. So we hear that there's corn in Egypt. Not enough to hear it. It doesn't satisfy us. It doesn't save us. You have to go down. You have to humble yourself, be broken, and go down and seek it. And you have to obtain the corn. In John chapter 12, Jesus is speaking here. And he says in verse 23, and Jesus answering said, saying, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Jesus here is the picture of the corn. You see, here's a kernel of corn, folks. And some of you guys are doing gardening right now. You take this kernel of corn, that corn must fall to the ground. It's buried, right? And it has to die. But if it dies, it will bring forth corn stalk with many, many kernels on it. So by this one corn abiding by itself and dying, it brings forth life to many through that one. That's exactly what Christ did for us. He died upon the cross that though through the offensive one, many were made sinners, so by the righteousness of one shall many be made right. That was one of those questions that I always struggled with when I was first a Christian. Why do we have to pay for Adam's sin? And then I was reading Romans one day, and Romans makes it clear, by one offense, by one man, sin entered into the world. Death by sin passed upon all. Also by the, I can't remember how it goes, by the works of one, Jesus Christ, the work that he did, he made it so that everybody can walk away free. So we can't blame it on Adam because God does things very equally. So here we have this setting here on this corner. I remember years ago, you already know what I'm going to say. She knows, my wife has heard my messages so often that she closes her eyes, and I thought, okay, she knows that what I'm going to say right now. I bought a banana one time. Huh? No. The reason why I said I bought a banana one time is because it's not what I was going to say, but she already knew what I was going to say, so I had to change it so it didn't look like she knew what I was going to say. So, Dr. Art Wilson is preaching, and he goes, I was at a revival meeting one day, and I was staying at a people's house that was farmers. He goes, we went out there, and he goes, I was sitting on their front porch in a rocking chair, and they were feeding me, you know, with all the farm food and stuff. And he goes, and I looked up, and on one of the posts of the screened-in porch was this ear of corn hanging. He goes, it had to be about that long. Had to be. He goes, I could not even touch. My fingers could not touch. It was so big around. It had a blue ribbon on it. It had one blue ribbon at the state fair. He goes, it was huge. He goes, it had, I don't know if I'm correct on this, it had several hundred kernels of corn on this one ear. Huge. He goes, and I sat there looking at that thing, and he goes, I began to realize that Colonel number 62 could cry out, "Hey, Colonel number 13, how did you get here?" And Colonel 13 would cry back to Colonel, what was the first one I said? 62. "One died for me." And Colonel 587 could cry out to Colonel 322, "Hey, how did you get here?" And they would cry back, "One died for me." Christ is the corn, the kernel, that would abide alone here in Genesis. And yet he talks about it, except here in Matthew or John 12. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." How many of you are saved today?
Amen. Amen.
Because one died for you.
Amen.
I don't know what kernel number you are on this huge eternal ear. Amen? But somewhere, you're on that list because one died for you. We all have the same answer. One died for me. So as Jesus is on the road to Emmaus, and he says, "That kernel of corn speaks about me. That I, as a Savior that gives life," the corn was what was giving life, correct? "Will make life possible for many, many, many people. It bringeth forth much fruit." Amen? That's why we are to sow the seed of the Word of God. When you give out a gospel tract, when you talk to somebody, even something that doesn't even have our church's name on it, these are good because I grabbed a bunch of these because I know I'm traveling. I can't leave these up in Oklahoma or Ohio. I come visit our church, right? So I'll take the ones that don't have it, and I just have verses of Scripture on them in Plan of Salvation. One cross plus three nails equals forgiven, right? So I'll be handing these out. And I don't know, maybe it's going to be the Ethiopian type mindset. God will direct him where he's supposed to go, you know. But God will use it, whatever. But God calls his word a seed, the incorruptible seed, which lives and abides forever. But seed is no good if you have it in the barn. It has to be planted. John's been bringing in cucumbers. John's been bringing in onions. John's been bringing in peppers. John would not have any of that abundant fruit that's more than he even needs to share with everybody else if he didn't start out getting the ground ready and planting the seed. So you and I are to be witnesses, amen?
Amen.
So we have a great opportunity, and Jesus is showing us things in the Old Testament. It's all about me. And it's interesting that one day, he's coming back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen?
Amen.
It may seem like a long time. It's been nearly 2,000 years, right? Since he died. And yet he says that one day is as 1,000 years and 1,000 years is one day. We can look back and say, man, the cross was a long time ago, almost 2,000 years ago. And God says, as he sits on his throne, that's as fresh to me as 2 days ago. So, get ready. The Lord's coming. Amen. Somebody sent me a thing here. Let's see if I can find it real quick. I always do this to you, don't I? It says this, and I'll close with this. Somebody sent me this. "We are past the point of no return. The rapture is up next. You better be ready, or you're going through 7 years of pure hell on earth. Play around if you want, and keep rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ. But if you do, the lake of fire is awaiting you." That's for the lost. For us, we should be getting ourselves ready, making sure that we're clothed, so we're not ashamed of his coming. Amen?
Amen.
And put you on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the lust of the flesh. I still got 10 minutes here. I always finish early on afternoon service and go over on the morning. Huh? Pretty even, yeah. It evens itself out. Keep each other in prayer. Pray for us as we're traveling, if you would. I appreciate that. And we'll have a good time while we're up there. Brother Weaver will do a fantastic job, I'm convinced of that. But let's go ahead and ask God's blessing upon the new week ahead of us. Our Father, we don't know what a day brings forth. But we trust that Thou art the one who says that You would lead us and guide us, order our steps aright. And that we know that whatever comes outside of our own doing, Lord, it's Your eternal purpose and plan. Just may we help us to be light. John's teaching on light and salt in Sunday school. May we be the light in this dark world. May we be salt. May we add flavor to those around us. May we make salt cause someone to thirst. May our lives be salty so that people would thirst for Christ because of what they see in us. Give us all safety through the week, dear Father. Keep everyone healthy and strong. And we pray and thank You for Your goodness and Your mercy, for Your word. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless.